Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Really good long throw, though. Bowen chests it down, and now he's appealing for handball against Biragi. Jared Bowen wants that check. He is absolutely adamant that that ball, after he controlled it, the trophy for 58 years. Here's a chance to go in front. Benrahma into the top corner there in front. Benrahma sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. To the West Ham goal, Ricardo Saponara came on for Christian Kouame, and he's stationed wide left. Ball drops inside the box. Bonaventura scores for Fiorentina. Out of nothing, the diagonal ball was nodded down. Fiorentina are level, and West Ham have got to do it all over again. 30 minutes of extra time possibly to come as well, and still some added time here at the end of this game for one of these teams to try and find a winner. Pakatar looking to release Bowen. Flag stays down. Bowen's through. One-on-one, hits the shot!
West Ham, so we're fucking massive, aren't we? Yes!
Okay, so once again, I do apologise for the language of Declan Rice.
Bobby Moore and Sir Geoff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, we celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. Proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. It is season 12. It is episode 60. And we are champions of Europe, or one of the champions of Europe. Back with us is John. John, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home thinking that George, who can't make it tonight, would be absolutely cringing at that production on the opening.
To be honest, it wasn't the most silky. Just let me explain. Right, first of all,
it was very bad.
Some commentary about 5 minutes before. I couldn't use Queen's version.
35 minutes before.
I couldn't use Queen's version of the We Are the Champions because it would be a copyright strike. So I had to
You
use
should have
some...
said, I could have put
You could have sung it.
On
so
the
I got a random version of a crowd singing it in Dublin. And then at the last minute, I threw in the Declan Rice expletive. It wasn't a silky production. I know. It was raw and nervy. But I think I pulled it off. I think no one
laughed. There you go. And there you go. That tells you everything we need to know.
You know what? I was starting to listen to it and thinking, why did I have to say something?
I know.
Anyway. All I wanted you to do is just download one set bit of commentary and just play it.
Well, you know me. I've got to go over the top. Shedman, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Shedman. Canning Town, Len. Sleepless right. In Seattle. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in the lounge sending people tracking numbers.
Oh. You haven't slept since the final. I read today.
Yeah, because you got it wrong. You're in your article. Yeah. I have. I didn't sleep on Wednesday. And then I went right through to Thursday.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
No, okay. All right then. No, I ain't slept, Sean. No.
Okay. <good. laughs> No George tonight, which is a shame. But we've got Wurzel Gummidge tonight as a special guest. Of course, he doesn't have a microphone. He doesn't have headphones. He doesn't own a computer. But here is Dodsey on a piece of string, a wet string, and a tin can. Dodsey, are you there?
I am here, Sean. Thank you for the invite, boys, and much appreciated. For those
you're a bit quiet. You have to speak up, Dodsey.
Well, we haven't got internet down this far, Sean, have we? So
over and out, yes. We've got you, Dodsey.
I'll just explain, people. Just explain, people. Dodsey says he hasn't got internet. Just if you couldn't understand him, I'm afraid it's not video. There's no subtitles.
Nigel will be translating for Dodsey.
You know what I like about you, Nigel, don't you?
Fuck all.
Nothing.
What did he say? Anyway,
see, I think you can't hear me when you say that, so I get confused.
All right.
Thank you for the invite, though. Much appreciated.
Cool.
I'm bet you're glad you come on, mate.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic, John. Yes.
I don't know why I expected anything different.
Anyway, no. Johnny Boy. Now,
hello.
Let's talk about the final. Let's talk about 58 years of, well, we weren't even alive, you and me, but it's a lifetime waiting for a European final for us. I spoke to you at the end. I believe you had tears in your eyes when I spoke to you, as I did. Of course, we'll talk to Len earlier because he said we're wusses. But talk about where you were watching the final and the experience, really.
Okay, well, I met with George, my nephew, and a few others in Guildford at 3:30, and
we made it. Wow, that's a lovely start. Were you with the Surrey Hammers?
No, just a few people.
Where were you? What pub?
I don't know, King Henry, is it, or something like that, in Guildford. Right. And then we moved to a pub which we found was a West Ham pub in Guildford area called the Holroyd Arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy. Yeah, it's the one. I pointed him into it when he moved that way.
Yeah.
Andy, the landlord, was in Prague,
isn't he?
Yeah. And his Mrs. Lisa, who was the landlady who hosted us the evening, and it was very good evening. We had a very good time.
What were your expectations before the game?
Probably to lose.
Be honest. Yeah. Yeah.
To.
And what were your
lose.
Expectations when we started?
I don't know. We started. It settled in quickly to them possession, us counter attacking. But we did have a couple of goes at them. I remember Antonio having a go quite early, having a shot on target.
Shot on target, wasn't it? After 40 seconds, if I remember rightly.
And we sort of broke on them, and then it just settled into what I thought it would be, which was just like a painful first half. It was difficult to watch for the first half.
I don't think they got a shot on target in the first half either.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, all round, I mean, for much of the possession they had, I mean, they did a good job on, you know, they pushed their wingers, their left and right back are right up on ours, pushed, played up on top, which stopped us getting forward, really. And, yeah, we were sort of reliant on the counter. And we kept sort of, the ball wasn't sticking. Lights of Antonio and that weren't.
They were playing a dirty little game. I mean, they were doing their old play acting and.
Yeah, when there was contact to some degree, they were rolling about, but you know that didn't counteract the fact that we couldn't make the ball stick and we kept giving it away.
Their captain and cut his head open.
Well, yeah, well that's just fucking ridiculous. And then, yeah,
that was the most exciting thing that happened in the first half, I think.
Well, you know, he had a goal disallowed.
Yeah, true.
Which was,
it was offside, though.
It was offside. But, yeah, you know, to be honest with you, at that point, I was probably about 6 pints in. So it wasn't too painful, and I was just settling into
I was in sort of enjoying O'Sullivan's it. In, have you ever been to O'Sullivan's? I know you go to Fingerola. Do you know O'Sullivan's
quite,
down the
quite
front?
Quite possibly. Is it, Irish place?
Big Irish pub called Sully's, right down by the marina.
Yeah.
Full of Scottish and Leeds fans and Northerners, and they were all supporting West Ham, with a few Italian fans supporting Florentina. So it was nice. Okay. Nice. Anyway, second half, 62 minutes.
And ball.
Stonewaller, wasn't it? Stonewaller.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah. And he was having a go at Bowen, wasn't he, saying, I'm going to go at him. But yeah, it was a Stonewall penalty.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's at 62. 5 minutes later, they come back.
What was his name? Bonaventura.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it all back again, and the commentator was saying that their manager, who's quite sort of funnily called Italiano, he'd brought him with him from the lower divisions. He's played with him like three different teams. So that was...
And briefly, only because we've got so many people to talk to, what were your thoughts when you saw Pacatar thread through that ball, through three players, finding Bowen?
I don't know, we all got a bit wet and jumped about a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Well, I broke my glasses. My glasses got completely smashed.
I know George sort of went flying in the... A stall went flying backwards and bouncing all over. But yeah, it was just a bit of a blur.
It was amazing.
And it seemed to take forever for the extra time.
Don't mind me asking if it's a sensitive. Did you get
one? I'd say I wasn't crying. I might have welled up at the end, but I wasn't bawling my eyes out.
I tears came down my face when And look, the only other time I've cried very few times as an adult, but two of them have been. West Ham games, the other one when we got through the semi-final at Villa Park. But, you know, this Leeds fan came up and tapped me on the shoulder and he goes, your team is just being awarded the cup, you know. And I looked...
Was you watching?
Well, yeah, I was, but I was also drinking mojitos. And and I've just spoken to you, actually, on
FaceTime.
Video, FaceTime. As Declan was... Just emotion came over me and tears ran down my face. And my missus said, what's wrong with you? She said, you know, all these things that happen in your life, you don't shed an emotion. And someone with a West Ham win a game and you're in floods of tears. And she took a picture of me.
Well, it's been a long time coming.
I know, so, yes. Yeah. And it was emotional. And I've got slightly emotional when I've watched stuff back as well.
There's been plenty to watch.
You know, I don't think there's any anything wrong. Anyway,
let's face it, it's just fucking brilliant, wasn't it? So, yeah, you know.
It was fucking brilliant. We are champions, or one of the champions. Let's move on to Lenny Boy. Lenny Boy, who didn't cry, by the way, because he told me I was a wuss. Me, Nigel and myself were wuss for shedding a tear.
Oh, wusses, isn't ya? Because I'm real, man.
Live on the radio at 1:30 in the morning, I talked to Paul Ross. No one was listening, so it didn't matter.
No, you weren't. It was half 11.
Nothing new there, Sean.
It was a pre-record, you're right. It was a pre-record.
Yeah, you need to stop the early frying, you do.
Anyway, I'll give you the stats. Fiorentina had 68% possession. We had 32. They had 17 shots, 4 on target. We had 8 shots, 4 on target. They had 3 corners to our 4. We fouled 16 times to their 15. So talk to me about it, Lenny Boy. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I did. Do you know what? I watched it at home on my jack.
Oh, did you?
Because I had a conference
call.
No?
Cleaner
not? No, she's done off football, so she was upstairs.
Okay.
I had a conference call before, which means I was invited to the Amherst chat party, but it would have meant I would have missed the kickoff, and if we would have won, I would have had to sort of leave straight away to do the painting. So
was invited to Black Lion as well.
Exactly. I was, and I could have done that. I would have missed even more with the Black Lion. So I thought I will stay in, watch it. Yeah, it was awful. Really, wasn't it? It was dreadful. let's not beat around the bush. Well, we don't right, care.
Not, all right, let's not beat around
but
the bush.
But then again, do you know what? Yeah. It just goes to show that being better isn't always better, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because they were a little bit better, I thought.
It was
end they weren't
to end,
creating
though,
anything,
it?
Though.
It was end to end, even in the first half, you know? God loves a try.
Yeah, it started off that way. And then it slowed up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Other than the highlights that I watched, obviously, retrospectively, there weren't much to it. I didn't even see a replay of the winning goal until
really?
The next day.
Yeah.
Until the next day. I don't know if it was jumping about or just in the days or... How great that! I
well,
mean, that's
as
the
time
way
goes
to
win
on,
we, there will be more and more rose-tinted glasses. How many people in Prague? How many people? You know, it'll be a million people in a few years' time that went to the parade. There's probably 50,000 people in the stadium, and the game
Nelson
was one
Mandela
of the best
syndrome.
Games of their life. You know.
Yeah.
But you're happy. But what did you do then? If you didn't cry, what did you do? Did you jump up on your own and go? Jolly good show. We're in
your No, it was a jump up kind of fist pump. Because when he gets through, obviously we're up on the seat. There's a little bit of a connection with the keeper that slows the ball. But you're looking at it and you're thinking to yourself, that's going in. That's going in. And you're waiting for it to hit the back of the net.
And then you're waiting for offside.
And then when
and
it does.
VAR.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You are waiting for... I mean, it didn't look it. It wasn't so. It wasn't one that you think that's off. It didn't look off. But that often they never do. But do you know what? For a long time, when we were up there, and I know it was the last minute, but for the 5 minutes extra time,
plus
I
three.
Wasn't worried at all.
Oh really?
I wasn't worried at all.
Didn't he?
I was worried. I just wanted it to end.
He just kept going and going. It was like
eight minutes, didn't it, in the end?
Yeah.
Piss taker.
I mean, I just assumed that it was... I'm sure we all did. When it got closer to 90, I was conditioning myself. I got another round of drinks in. Mojitos, obviously. Preparing
for you two.
Yeah, well, it was happy hour, so...
Last
of
the big spenders, isn't it?
You know, we were... I don't know, I had about... 10 or 12 mojitos, so I peaked too early as well, John.
I was quite all right.
I was preparing myself for extra time and penalties. I really was at that point. So that's why the best wins come when it just comes out of the blue and Pakatar, Bowen, thank you very much. What did you do afterwards, Len? Did you watch the presentation and the... Oh, you started painting.
Oh, no, I watched the presentation.
Yeah. And you didn't get emotional at all. There wasn't even that tinge of joy or...
Oh, well, I was just fucking happy, Sean.
No?
Honestly, happy. Just happy.
It's hard to tell with you sometimes, Len, really, whether you're happy. You have to tell us you're happy, yeah.
Oh, don't be like that.
Anyway, so you your first picture sort of picked itself, I guess, did it?
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be trophy lift. And then when he went to the side and kissed the trophy, I thought to myself, that's going to be the quickest one to do. But I think it was also the most iconic as well so far.
Yeah.
So
how long did that take you? What time did you start and what time did you finish?
Well, I finished it at 7:40 in the morning. And I started there. I think it was like an 8-hour job.
And when did you start
the
bowing?
8-hour job. Hmm?
When did you start the Bowen one?
On Saturday evening. Friday evening. I actually don't remember painting the Bowen one. Obviously, I did it.
Because you didn't go to sleep, that's why.
Yeah. Friday evening and right through Saturday, which was obviously a longer painting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, let's bring in Shebman. For a tactical review of the game. before we go to Dodsey and he can tell us what it was like to go to Prague, if he hasn't fallen asleep already. Shedman. Yeah. Hindsight is a great thing. Are you really regretting now you didn't get your passport?
Yeah, obviously. You know, hey-ho, that's life. I didn't tell people. I did get a ticket for the game.
Oh, did you?
I did indeed.
Oh, you sneaky.
I had enough points.
Little.
20 euros. It's possibly the best 20 euros I've ever spent.
Someone used it, though, yeah?
Yeah, my friend went in my place. I was delighted for him.
Oh,
I couldn't think of a better person. To be honest, I would have wanted to go for me. Sent me loads of pictures. Front row, by the goal.
Wow.
Constantly on the telly.
How nice.
And, yeah, you know, the mad thing about it was it was a 20 euro restricted view. And the restricted view was if he sat down, the wall in front of him. But obviously everyone stood up. So he was by the goal where Bowen scored. You know, look, such is life. It's not the first West Ham game I missed for not having a passport because I didn't go to the Mets either for exactly the same reason. And I had a ticket for Mets bought for me. And when they turned up to come and get me, I didn't have a passport. They didn't tell me. But they turned up and said, well, that's no good. I ain't got a passport. So they went without me. You know, look, I've seen West Ham in five finals. I've been abroad with West Ham in the short time I have had a passport. You know, that's life, isn't it?
You're going to get a passport
fantastic
to Dublin?
Evening. I'm supposed to be going abroad later this year, so the passport will be applied for this week, to be
all
fair.
Right.
You know, I was in the Black Lion. Early doors from 5 o'clock.
A lot of people in there?
Yeah, there was. It was mad because a few people listening to the podcast were in there, came up. Mark Bright, one of them. Obviously, he ran over from, or drove over from Crystal Palace. So he don't look like he does normally on the telly, Mark Bright.
Is he one of our listeners as well, you're saying?
What, Mark Bright?
Yeah.
That's how much you pay attention, Sean, because he's probably in the questions every week.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah. I normally preview it with Crystal Palace's Mark Bright.
The TV
I made a new
guy,
friend.
Mark Bright.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if you're joking or not.
What?
Don't.
Fucking. Oh,
even
tell
I
you,
know,
crack
Sean.
Me up. What, do you think the real Mark Bright would listen to more than just a podcast?
Yeah, maybe.
And then would come to the Black Lion and support
yes,
West Ham?
Maybe.
Shut up, idiot.
Because more than a podcast is massive everywhere we go. Anyway, it doesn't quite work,
yeah.
Does it?
Who else was there? John from Kent. He drove up.
Oh, John from Kent.
Yeah, he drove up with his daughter to watch it in the Black Lion. And sitting next to me most of the game was Paul. From Dublin, who flew over from Dublin to watch it in the Black Lion.
Wow.
So, it's... Because when we said, wouldn't it have been cheaper to go to Prague? And he was like, no, they were still charging like 500 euros to fly from Dublin to Prague.
Yeah.
So, he thought he'd come over. And we watched the game. And then Paul came up to Upton Park with me, where we had a couple of beers at the... We had a beer at the statue. I run over to the bowling, convinced them to let me in, even though they were shut, which they did, serve me up the beers, and I run across the road with them. There was about six of us there at Upton Park, and I think I rolled in about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
But, you know, look.
We'll get to the parade later, obviously.
Yeah, it was just... I'm trying to equate it in what it means in my life.
Did you get emotional?
Yeah, I cried.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you've probably seen the video of me.
No, I haven't seen the video. I don't know how Len knows. That's why I was asking.
It was on YouTube.
No, he said it on. I ain't seen it.
Oh, right.
Come tell where it is. I'll fucking laugh.
If you go on to Claret and Booze,
yeah,
it's one of their shorts.
Yeah.
So it's this scenes from the Black Lion. I didn't know it was filmed by Gary's son Ross, who watched the semi-final together in the Black Lion.
Yeah.
So he's filmed the scenes, and right at the end, it pans to me, and I'm like tears in
You're
my eyes.
Loving. That's all right. That's good.
Fucking
good.
Not.
Yeah,
it is. It's emotion.
No, fuck him. He's supposed to be a fucking Tanner.
Shut up.
Fucking loving like a fucking
Yeah, but I know
girl.
A lot of people that
Everybody I know, most people I know, George has admitted he cried. John's admitted he cried. I have. Dodsey, did you shed a tear?
Absolutely, he was drunk. I was like,
there you go.
Oh, I see.
So,
what are you saying?
Then you're
what are you saying?
One.
Well, because I'm on the spectrum, I'm unemotional. <I know. laughs>
Your
so
words,
what you fucking saying?
Your words, Lenny.
So, what you're saying? Cause I have no empathy.
Well,
oh, I see. Okay, you need to be autism aware, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking hell.
Listen, team man.
Yeah.
Anyway, well done, Nigel.
You know,
well
it's done. Just. It wasn't a great performance.
No.
But look, in cup football, it's about the scoreline and it's about holding that trophy aloft and it's about what winning that has done for the fan base and what it's done for the club.
Yeah.
That to me sits just below the 1980 cup final.
Yeah.
And I think what it is that 80 for me. It's because we were the underdogs. We were the Division 2 team. Arsenal, you know, even though they were probably knackered, all lost the final and everything else. Or they had four games in the semi, you know. But we still beat Arsenal. We were the cup holders in the FA Cup. And we'd beat some good teams on the way. First Division teams on the way. So I think that will sit below the 1980 FA Cup for me, but it's second on the list, definitely. We can talk about what it does for David Moyes and everything else later, perhaps.
Well, I guess just following on from that, as I think I said, I was in Spain. Look, I'm not going to lame the listener, but a listener, really kind listener, offered a ticket to George and myself at face value when he heard about it. And George felt he couldn't go because the price had gone up so much. It was just too difficult to do. I thought long and hard about going from Spain because I could have got some from Spain. And do you know what? And hindsight's a great thing. I just thought, do I really want to give up half my holiday, go over there, watch us lose, and spend like $3,000 and you know, my daughter said, "Well, you're a fake." After we won, she went, "You fake fan, you had the opportunity to do it and you didn't do it." And I do feel a bit of regret now. But I didn't want to be one of those people who said, "Oh well, you know, I got the t-shirt, I was there, etc." I went to an Irish bar, watched it. There was one other West Ham fan there. Everybody else was either Celtic, Rangers, Manchester City, Manchester United or Leeds. But they were all West Ham fans for that night. And I had a really good time and got very, 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 very drunk and very emotional. And to make it worse, I was still in Spain, so I missed the parade as well. And I think they sort of caught us all out a little bit. But, I mean, maybe we...
Not me.
Well, it didn't get you out. We knew it was going to be a Thursday, and we obviously saw pictures of the bus, etc. And I spoke to...
Perhaps the decision was made a lot earlier than
that. Oh, I know it was. I know it was. Because I spoke to certain sources. I mean, the board, I don't know if you know, flew out on Wednesday afternoon. So they had a private jet waiting for them. They left about 3 o'clock in the afternoon from Stansted, from a VIP lounge. They flew directly to...
I don't
to
think that's a good advert, to be honest, Sean. I don't want to like bring it down, but I think the club really needs to look, if it is going to go forward in the way they manage and handle these events and everything else. When we got a sponsor of that owns aircraft, in either air, you know, things can be done. Planes can be organised through the club, and they can help fans.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't disagree, and certain organisations.
And when they do it like that, the way they behave like that.
What, jump on a plane on a private plane, waited for them at the end of the game, flew them limos back again, and they came back that night.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, there would have been people that perhaps could have gone but couldn't get all that time off work.
Yeah, no, probably could have. I get you.
You know,
it is for the privilege, but it's their toy set, and they're allowed to play with it how they are. You know,
if you would say that, wouldn't you?
I don't think the club. I don't know. I don't know if the club.
You would say that, wouldn't you?
But anyway, I was delighted. I was upset. I really wanted to get back for the parade. The parade looked brilliant. Andy Sheldon.
I mean, there may have been some people, Sean, that would have thought that Mr. West Ham Football would have made sure he didn't book that week in Spain anyway.
Well, again, not believing we'd get in the final.
Then you're a fucking idiot.
Well, I know, yeah. But the way we were
playing.
You've
only just realised.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, let me give you some numbers. So Andy Sheldon said 13,000 West Ham fans got hold of a ticket. So it was only a 19,000 stadium, but 13,000, which leave the other six for Fiorentina. So West Ham managed to get the majority of those other tickets. There were another 9,000 in the fan park and another 2,000 at the Irons event, what they called Ironworks event. And then many,
9,000 in the fan park.
Sorry?
There was loads more than 9,000 in that family.
Not according to your mate, Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah, but they counted three for every one.
All right,
so three went in.
There were many thousands in the square. I mean, the estimates I've seen is there was between 35,000 and 45,000 West Ham fans in Prague on final day, which was amazing. And again, when the next day, when a lot of the people were still in Prague. The estimates, the Evening Standard gave an estimate of 70,000. The police gave an estimate of 100,000 along the route of the parade. And some unsubstantiated reports say somewhere between 150,000 and 200,000. Maybe this is a good point to talk about the parade. Oh, sorry, no, of course. We're going to talk to Dodsey first. We'll get to the parade in a minute. Dodsey!
You forgot he was here, didn't you?
I did. Dodsey, yeah. You went
to Prague.
The
only reason we invited him.
Yeah, I know. Dodsey.
Thank
sorry.
You, Nigel. You're so kind, Nigel.
Right, so Nigel will translate. Dodsey, talk to us about your journey, right? Don't make it an hour monologue.
Yeah.
Talk us about...
Cut out your visits, your lady visits.
Thanks, Len. I wondered how long. Well done. Ding! Within 20 minutes, he's in there.
Well, we could have gone clang, but that might make a number.
Yeah, I'll go ding, you go clang. I like the way that you lot say don't go on when you fucking have a podcast that lasts 2.5 hours. So that's quite interesting. Where do you want me to start, Sean?
Well, to start with your trip. Well, you know, what time do you get up? And usually there's bus or swans involved and beers involved. Where did you have to fly from? And...
I've got to be honest. I was flying out at 9 o'clock that evening, Monday evening. Sad as it was, I was so excited. I just set off at 10 in the morning to get up there and drive up. I met a few friends on the way up and then made my way to Stansted, where I met a few of my other friends, and we made our way into the Witherspoons in Stansted Airport to have a drink. As you know, is what's about to be said. They delayed the plane for 2 hours, and then they put us on the plane and did an announcement which went something like, there are 183 people on the plane and 180 seats, so three of you need to get off. To which, obviously, we all said, we ain't getting off. Two Czechoslovakian fans, businessmen, decided to get off, to which I videoed it. And very kindly, the Daily Mail picked it up in it and put a picture of me and my dog on the front. So now Bella is as famous as
And got your age wrong, Dodsey.
Yes. Did they say I was younger or older? I can't remember.
They said you were 57. What's your real age?
57. I know, Sean, I know. I don't look it. Nigel, shut up. So we were delayed, so we eventually set off. We drank the plane dry by the time it had even taken off, because obviously they held us on the runway for about an hour and a half. And then we arrived in Prague at about 2 in the morning, so went to bed and then got up the next morning and hit the square. So we were in the square quite early, from about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And it was quite lively, and it was very good in the square. Got to say, very good in the square. So, and with no trouble up until that point. So, that's my first part. What else do you want to know?
Well, you just want me to carry on going.
So, yeah.
That's
so,
not bad, because part one stopped at Stonehenge.
Yeah, I was going to say. Obviously, Nigel didn't put it up on 6 foot two to a, you know, 4 days after the final. But
we stopped at Stonehenge. I thought he was still there. I was like reading it thinking, what happened?
So Swampy is still there, Nigel, because they've got a protest camp to the right, so I can join them.
You didn't see any trouble, Dodsy, at all?
So there was no trouble that we saw, but obviously the reports came back that in that evening, Fiorentina fans had attacked three pubs and had used stun grenades. So they actually chucked stun grenades in. So a couple of lads got caught up in that, and they were quite shaken up by it. Because, like I say, we've had glasses thrown at us, we've had chairs, we've even thrown vodka bottles back over in, I think it was Lyon, wasn't it, when Frank, was it Lyon? No, where was it? Where Seville, wasn't it? Where Frankfurt attacked us, and people were throwing vodka bottles back out. But that one was quite shocking. But yeah, no trouble.
You kept
whatsoever.
On appearing in videos and selfies, and you know
that was good, wasn't it? Ben said if I did another video, I won't pass a comment.
Anyway, let's fast forward a little bit. So how did you get to the stadium?
So on the game day of the game, after breakfast, we made our way to the fan park, which opened at about 12 o'clock. So we got to the fan zone at about 11:45, because we were quite worried. Quite a lot of us were worried about what had happened to Liverpool season before, and what you've seen before. So we were quite nervous. The fan zone, we've all seen the pictures of water, and it wasn't the best. But to be fair, they tried to sort it out. They did a good job. I've got to say, all the way through, whoever organises it, I'm going to say UEFA, but it's probably somebody different organises it, did try to look after us. There was lots of little bits around the town that they were doing. The people of Prague, absolutely, the locals welcomed us. The pubs were taking good trade and everything like that, so they were happy. So in the fan zone, it was well organised.
Chesney Hawks.
Even
I
Chesney
am
Hawks.
The one and only.
Exactly, the song for Len, isn't it? Nobody I'd rather be.
Did you sing along?
Good God. Of course, Len. Of course you have to, don't you? He did.
What other songs did he sing? That was his only one, wasn't it?
Right, Len, get ready for this. So the first song he opened
Get ready
up,
for this, he sung that one, did he?
Well, no, he started. This is going to make it even worse for you, Len. You're going to have a heart attack for this. My mate, Harry, who stands next to me, who goes everywhere with me, thought it was a funeral, because he started with Imagine All The People. He said, fuck me, have we gone
fucking
to a funeral? Fucking
hell, that was a live knock. And
exactly
people got in there early and started going on the piss. Jesus fucking
Christ. We saw
Christ.
A few boos when they announced Chesney Hawks on one.
He probably seen the gig before.
He was well received, but he did do Oasis song, a Blur song. He then did
anyway,
some Purple Rain.
Anyway,
Dodsy, it's not
fucking
Chesney
Hawks. let's
you
get to the game.
Chesney Hawks.
Yeah, I know. So let's move on to the game, right?
Yep.
Tram,
train. So walk to the metro 20 minutes, metro 20 minutes along the line, and then 20 minute walk into the stadium.
How many pints did you consumed by now in that day?
Too many to bloody mention, mate. Didn't stop drinking all day, mate. Even when we walked to the stadium, there was a Tesco's Express. See, Nige? I didn't get on a bike. I didn't ride to the moon. There was a Tesco's Express, and I picked up some more beers to take to the ground. Getting into the ground was an absolute piece of piss. It was
queues, massive queues.
No, well, there might have been if they turned up late. We got in there a reasonable time, no problem, well organised.
Tickets activated easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was the thing.
Dodgy.
That,
any dark times over there?
Yes. When we came back from the game, the police just don't give a shit. So if they're marching somewhere and ladies or gents get in the way, they smash through them and don't give a shit and say, don't speak English.
Like the Belgians.
Not our problem. Yeah, absolutely.
And the other dark times where he found out that his credit card had been maxed out by a brothel.
Oh,
no, thanks.
God, that is dark.
Any jibbers?
Dark times, isn't it? Not that I'm aware of, mate. Not that I'm aware of. Oh.
So interesting that Andy Sheldon said the tickets weren't transferable at all, which I had to set him right. I think so many people, it was the easiest way to transfer tickets, wasn't it?
Yeah.
James Corden got his ticket transferred, didn't he? Because he was there.
Oh, it's known to be like that. You got your fucking ticket, Dodsy.
Jesus Christ. That's all that matters, Len. I got my 72 points. I'll get you a ticket, Len.
Anyway, let's go forward to the game. Where were you sitting? Were you one of the people throwing cups? I hope you were.
Absolutely not. I pay too much for my beer to throw it.
Yeah, that's true, actually. If anyone knows Dodsey, he would not throw beer. Probably
not a chance.
No, he wouldn't throw beer.
So we were behind the goal, but to the back. Yeah. And the throwing, as you look out onto the pitch, was to the left, obviously coming down. Atmosphere was good. I would say the Fiorentina fans, you know, did kind of a bit outsing us. The game, as Len and Nigel, I think, said, was absolutely shit. But it did have you on tenterhooks the whole time because you just thought, this is. And that's what built up to the crescendo at the end. You genuinely thought we weren't going to win it. So, yes, when we scored, but remember at half time, they'd scored that goal and it took a while for them to do the VAR and everything. So it was like, oh, here we go. This is typical West Ham.
The replays on TV sort of showed us it was way offside. So we didn't have that worry.
It wasn't way offside.
Well, you could tell it was offside. It wasn't one of those. It needed.
No, it was borderline, Sean.
No, I didn't. I disagree.
It was closer than it first appeared, Sean, but.
Yeah.
You know.
I had a lot of mojitos, so I couldn't say.
Yeah, sounds about fucking right.
Anyway, Dodsey, so.
So, nice sing song. So it was good atmosphere and everything. Obviously, when we scored, everyone goes mental, but by the time you finish celebrating, they've gone and scored up the other end is what it feels like and everything like that. So, but I've got to say, when that goal went in, I've always said, and Nigel will probably know this as well, up until this game, you didn't need to be at the game to really take up the whole atmosphere, if that makes sense. This is the first game I've been to where being at the final, absolutely in the game, you just can't explain. You can't explain it. And the bit that I liked about the end of the game was the way all the players came to us. And it's not about Man City or West Ham, because I get it. You know, bloody Man City are going to be better than us for years to come. But you could see the difference. Of course, it meant a lot to Man City last night. Of course it did. I don't get this bollocks about, oh, it didn't mean nothing to them. Of course it did. But my God, the emotion of all those decades of traipsing up and down the bloody motorway on a Tuesday night to Blackpool, or, you know, going to the bloody Gerrard FA Cup final where in the last minute it fucks us over and everything, to that, all of it just came out and it was amazing. And those players, you know, we've said for the last year, haven't they, that they're not together, not a team. Fuck me, that was a bad disguise of not being a team, because every one of them. And Moisey got his song sung and Rice came up and, you know, they're all there. And like I think I said to Len early on, the only thing that made me pissed, and I won't name all of them, but Cornet in particular, fuck me. Did he win the game for us single-handedly? Because he was everywhere. He was up the front, diving up and down. Best offside of the tournament. I get an award for that. Jesus Christ. I remember being over in, was it Ghent? When we sung Maxwell Cornet, we thought you were dead because we hadn't seen him play. But hey, apart from that, what?
So you know, how did it? How long till you left the stadium? Did they have to throw you out the stadium?
Yes, a bit like the last day up to.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Park, they had to throw us literally out of the stadium, a bit like trying to do the trophy. Do you know what? They actually had to ask him five times to come and pick the trophy up because they were so busy celebrating.
Yeah, it was a bit delayed.
But yeah, we didn't get out of the stadium until about half 12. And then it was a half-hour walk up to the metro, and then a 45-minute metro in, and again, the police were a bit, like Len said, dark times.
Did you celebrate by going to Red Light District? What did you do after?
No, straight back into the square, mate, where there was about 15,000 to 20,000 of us singing, and they shut all the pubs like they always do.
Oh.
They stupidly left all the off licenses open, so we ripped them bare and just drank till about 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time did you get to your bed?
4 o'clock in the morning, I went to Burger King with my mate because he wanted to eat. And it was at that point that a half and half scarf seller came in. And I went, Nigel Khan, shit, he wanted a half and half scarf. I'll take one of them.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he wanted one for his shed. So I would not let him down. Yeah. So,
well,
did you get one for him?
Yeah, I got it, Len.
I don't know if you know the story, but our good friend Stale bumped into the players at 4 a.m. in the morning. They'd gone to a party. They were staying at the Mandolin Orient Hotel, and they had a party, or did they have a party at the Marriott? I can't remember. But they went out to I don't know if it's a square or some part, and Stell bumped into them and took a picture. He was right next to Declan Rice. They had these scooters and Emerson and David Moyes. And yeah, there's quite a few videos. They celebrate with the fans. You missed that one, Dodsey. I mean, there was king of selfies, king of video, and you missed the main attraction, mate.
No, Len.
Anyway, you spoke to Stelios.
Don't take too long, then you were out that time.
You ran out of money. You bumped into Stelios.
I bumped into Stelios. He was having a meal with seven or eight, so I quickly popped in to say hello to him. And I bumped into Gary from Claret and Booze as well.
All right. So, did you meet up with David, a young
you
friend,
know he
David.
Did.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah, of course you.
Yes, of course I did.
David and John.
David and John. What nice people. What genuinely nice people, aren't they? So
John Rutomsky, did you meet up with him?
Yes, I saw John. Yeah, I saw John out there and everything. So,
man of the people, you are a bit of a mini celebrity yourself, aren't you?
Well, we had this argument the other week. It's the West Ham family. Don't care what anyone says. They are a family. So. Yeah, exactly.
Did you take your Sharpie over there, Dozzy?
No, I didn't, mate. You and Miriam Williams are going to get so upset I didn't get any autographs. But the dog's now got a paw print pad, Len, where it prints it off and gets autographs, but not me, no.
We're going to come back to you. So go on, let's finish that.
The best two were walking past that half massive trophy and everything, nothing compared to the bloody European Champions League trophy that I saw the other day compared to ours. That was massive. But being on breakfast TV and my mates from home ringing saying they just choked on their bloody toast and everything.
Yeah.
And then the other one was that TikTok one where I've gone up to the camera thinking it was foreign and done the irons properly for you, Nigel. I did it properly for you.
Oh,
I always have that every time I go to do it now. I think, fuck, if I get this wrong, Nigel will give me shit for not doing it properly. Yeah. Unlike Karen Brady, Sean's mate doing it on the steps that he sent out the other day.
Nigel didn't invoke Karen Brady's.
Sean, I wouldn't waste my piss on her if she was on fire. Why would I waste my fucking typing?
But I've got to say, just going back, the best moment, and this is, Len, this is where you're going to go, you really are a soppy fuck. My daughter, Lauren, who now lives in Delaware, went home away with me.
Your favourite one?
Yeah, the favourite one. Chloe's my favourite.
Your favourite twin?
The favourite twin. You got it, Len. She lives in Doha now, and I managed to FaceTime her on the 90th minute, so it felt like she was there with me watching it. So she's been Blackpool, she went to Liverpool, she's done everything from the age of 6 all the way up until 1920. And even when I was away in New Zealand, my mates looked after her and took her abroad.
1920?
Yeah, close, wasn't it? You know what I mean.
So, Dodsey, so,
are you Doctor Who? 1920?
Dodsey, you said...
You know it's a slip of the tongue.
You said after your daughter, Lauren, this is your next favourite person, missing out your wife and your other daughter.
Yeah.
Who were you talking about?
Harry Hamilton.
Oh, that's it.
He's a wannabe Cockney.
So you love Harry more than your wife, Penny, or your other daughter. What's your other daughter's name?
I love him on a level, Sean.
No, that's not what you said. Dodsey, I just want to correct you. That's not what you said.
Len?
You said...
You answer the question.
go on.
That's not what you said.
You said you love Harry more than anyone apart from your daughter, Lauren. Right. Leaving out your wife, Penny.
When it comes to my wife, Penny, Harry costs me less on my credit card. So that's the first thing.
that's not a very nice thing to say.
So yeah, when you get caught up in the emotion and everything.
And
like
what's your other daughter done wrong?
Yeah, what's she done to you?
Well, she protects people in ICU. She's an ICU nurse.
What's her name?
She didn't leave home.
She didn't leave home,
What's her name?
Chloe.
You never talk about Chloe. You only talk about Lauren.
Chloe is an absolute wonderful...
Oh, you're only saying that now because you've been going around.
She pressed you.
Yeah, that's right. No, she is a wonderful... She's an ICU nurse, so... she went through nursing and she's had to pay. It's those 3 years where they have
all
to
right,
pay
it's
their
not
own.
Chloe podcast, Dodsey.
Anyway,
we're going to come back to you about the parade because I know you made it back for the parade. So you can talk about your
Some of us made it back. You didn't make it back from Spain, did you, Sean?
No, I didn't. But let's go to Nigel. Nigel, look, I couldn't make it back. John had other arrangements. Len doesn't leave his house. So it was left to you. Did you go, Len, or did I get it wrong?
Go where? To the parade? No, I stayed up for the night and I was so wired I couldn't face it.
All right.
Because I didn't have anyone to go with. Because everyone was either in Prague.
Yeah.
You said you were going with your family.
You did, actually.
So I didn't want to. And I thought to myself, if I go, well,
your West
Ham
family.
But I assume you'd have gone to the Upton Park end, wouldn't you?
I did.
And then he walked along. I really don't know this story, Nigel, so I'd like to hear about the story, you know. And did you all walk along with the buses for 2 hours to get to Stratford Town Hall? Is that what everybody did?
A few people did that, not me. I didn't want to go to Stratford. To be fair, never been a fan of Stratford, have I?
No.
So there was only one place I was going to be. Got down there about 6:15, was mobbed out. See the players
signing stuff.
It was a bit of a strike. I hope Brady and the Bald weren't there.
I don't think they were.
That's good. I'm pleased about that.
Okay. Because
did you take a banner?
Well, no, yeah, but they took.
No, but yeah, but yeah, but no.
Well, they started it in the school. In St Edward's School, which is now next to blocks of flats. And a bit of me thought, I wonder how many of them look at that and think I used to play there. So, and what they think. And then I thought, I hope Sullivan ain't there or Brady. You know, criminals always go back to the place of their crime, don't they? There was a bit of me thought, I couldn't make my mind up whether that was a good thing to start it there or not.
It seemed rammed, by the way. I mean, I was watching.
Oh, it was. It was.
Watching Sky. Yeah. I'm sure John, bring John in here. Were you watching the stream on Sky to begin with?
Yeah, I watched what I could
the
get.
The silent
it,
drone footage with no commentary. And I tell you what, after you watch drone commentary of just no, in the end you go, I can't watch this for 3 hours. But
it looked quite clever how they managed to get the bus through in the end.
We couldn't see really from where I was because I was next to the statue and I couldn't believe really how
they
into
got the
road
through.
Well it weren't that because you could sort of see because when the players turned up in a blacked out coach who was at the front, I think it was Declan Rice, was jumping up and down so you could see him like through the front windscreen jumping up and down and celebrating. And it took ages. And you could see the traffic was really struck because they hadn't shut the road off at 6 o'clock.
Oh, of course they wouldn't.
So, and then you're thinking, have they not learned anything from the last day of Upton Park and what happened? And it seems like they hadn't. The police then arrived, but even as the police arrived, more and more people were joining it and they were getting pushed forward and forward. And I couldn't really see... There was that many people there. I couldn't see how tight it was. It wasn't until I got home and watched it again and saw how tight it was.
Yeah. You get any mementos? They were kicking balls and throwing memorabilia and stuff. Did you get anything?
No. I was all I needed to do was to see them.
Who was there? Like, Sam was there?
Came past. No, me and Charlie, my mate Richard and his son.
Oh, I thought when you said the family was there, I thought Sam and Molly and even Oliver had gone or something. No,
no, whole family, definitely not. He wouldn't. No,
no. And the West baby family, take the little pram down. No. I heard it was a bit dangerous at times.
Well, it was very tight there. There was more people there than I ever imagined that would have been there. I thought more would have been.
What's your estimate?
Well, I would have thought 100,000.
Yeah.
There's a funny thing, because I was reminded the other day, when Stuart Pearson joined West Ham and Man United, and he won the FA Cup with Man United, and before the game, or before, like, they were interviewing, he said, well, you know, they said, oh, there could be, like, if West Ham win, he said, well, look, nothing will beat Manchester United fans in like a bus parade and celebrating after. And
it was amazing.
He did say, actually, I never thought West Ham fans could outdo Man United fans, but they did when it came to the parade.
More people than 1965. I know none of us was alive, but you're a historian. You'd have seen this. Do you think there were more people there?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the footage, even of 1980, in a way, it was good in a way, and it was weird because I thought, oh, they'll go East Ham, Newham Town, all. But yeah. They've gone to, where did they go to, Sean? Remind me.
They started off, as you said, at the school.
Yeah, I know. Where did they finish? Street.
Old Town Hall, Stratford.
I had Town Hall. Well, the proper name of that was West Ham Town Hall. So that's what it was known as when I was a kid, West Ham Town Hall. Because obviously before West Ham and East Ham were formed to make Newham, they were separate boroughs. So I thought, what a great touch. To actually go to West Ham Town Hall. I mean, I weren't going,
Why didn't you, though? I mean, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Why didn't you?
Why? I don't think I cut off my nose. I saw the parade. And this is the thing that was special. I saw a parade on the streets that I grew up on. I didn't grow up in Stratford.
Fair enough. So what did you do? As soon as they went home, did you? And watched the rest?
Well, I stood there talking with my mates and whatever. And to be fair, just as I walked away, a couple of my mates rung me up. They were down the Black Line. And I could have got there by going round the back streets.
Yeah. You could have met Robert Banks, Man of the People, doing his talk on BBC.
Yeah. Well, look, you can goad me, but I won't say
And then they had John Rutopsky talking from Prague about the parade while he was in Prague.
But, oh, no. Great.
Bit of a shame people missed out, I thought.
It is,
but at the end of the day, look, the players were all booked away on holidays. Fornell's getting married, everything else. You know,
Lanzini missed Thursday, the parade completely.
Internationals, isn't there?
Yeah, it was Thursday or nothing. And that is the case. So what would you rather do? And at the end of the day, you know, it is harsh, but then again, you know, going out to a final and watching it in a fan park on a TV screen is a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
So people have had a choice to make, isn't it? And they made the choices.
Yeah.
So
Let me ask a quick question to Len and John. I don't know what noise is in the background.
That's Dodds' dog.
Dodds is changing
He's
the litter tray.
He's giving his dog dinner.
John, did you watch the whole thing? I watched the bloody thing for over 3 hours. I moved over to BBC with commentary, and I couldn't believe I watched the bloody thing for 3 hours in a bar.
No.
In...
You know what I was doing, so I had my hands full. I was looking after young babies and children.
Oh, yeah,
were
babysitting, weren't you?
So I couldn't, I watched what I was... I had it on, but I was a busy man.
I mean, it got a bit samey. I mean, there's only so many.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but the bit I liked is when they got to the town hall and they started singing. I mean, the one thing I learned is Kara knows all the songs. He can sing, and Emerson.
He's like the cheerleader, wasn't he?
He is like the cheerleader. He knows the songs of, he even knew... I just bought my car from Lucas Bacatar. He loves the chants and the songs. So I thought it was a great camaraderie.
Most of
even what's his name
on Twitter and that after. There's so much of it, wasn't there?
There was, and you know, I did like that bit, and I thought, do you know what? I messaged the person who arranged that. Tara Warren arranged the whole parade, and I sent her some congratulations.
Well, no way did she.
She did arrange the.
No
she did
way. It went too well, mate. There's no way.
It
she
was Tara
that.
Warren. Just say go well done way. For a change. Say they well done. Well done,
ain't
Tara.
Happening, mate. There's no way she organised it.
She did organise it. I know. I can tell
she'd
you.
She'd have
she
got proper
it.
People to do it. Surely.
She organised it.
She did organise it. It's just like booking a cab, but bigger. Mm, you'll get on the bus.
They
got one place to another.
I thought they did really, really well. I thought they arranged it.
It's like
it,
booking a cab.
Well, it is.
Anyway,
what's the difference?
I know you got this
big
let's
cab.
Let's move on to the town square, because I know you then. How did you get back, Dodsey? You pick up the story, because I know that you flew back via Stuttgart or wherever you flew back from.
Via Milan.
Milan. Flew by Milan.
To go back to Italy.
Yeah, relied on Florentina.
I was you know laughing when I see that.
Yeah, I did think that myself.
Airport. Yeah, a few people
think,
did that.
So, seemed a good idea to get it for 71 quid. So, yeah, we flew back into Milan, obviously, Terminal 1, and didn't realise that there's two terminals, and we were flying out of Terminal 2. The plane was late again. Seemed to be a lot of problems with planes across the weekend all the way. But, yeah, we got back into Stansted a little bit late, and the people I'm with who live around that area were like, you can't miss this. And I'm like, I've got a 4.5-hour car journey back to Taunton. No, you've got to go. So yeah, I went down there and obviously walked in through. We parked at Westfields, walked across the road through the old shopping mall. That's the best way to describe it, I suppose. And
Stratford Centre.
Honestly, thank you, mate. Thank you very much. Stratford Centre. I just know it's got a Wendy's there. What a surprise. And through and out, and my God, it was rammed. Absolutely rammed. So we threw a right at Stratford. I had Nigel in my head because I know he said, I ain't going to Stratford. You can piss off. I ain't going there, Dodsey. And off we went to the right and eventually, you know, got a space. And then you have all the little kids climbing up on the bus stops, climbing up the slats on the Indian to the right and up onto the roof and everything like that. And yeah, it was a great atmosphere. Yeah, it was a great atmosphere. I'm glad I did it.
What's your estimate of how many were there?
80,000, 90,000 there, I would say.
Yeah,
looking at it,
yeah.
I
think there was definitely 70 odd thousand looking far and wide. It went, I mean, I'm not Stratford. It, as you know, I used to go there as a kid, and it was, I must admit, it was a fantastic sight. I thought I've watched it back when I got home, and then I've watched the stuff on the balcony, and I mean, it was done well. Strangely enough, it was done well.
Okay.
And there was
well
a bit
done,
of me that thought, I didn't think about that, but some bloke managed to get that sign, didn't he? Off of the scaffolding and get it home.
Yeah.
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 So that would have looked good in the garden.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, bit of an anti-climax now. What do we do now? I mean...
I know, Sean. We're bad winners, apparently.
Well, I do think... I think
that was unbelievable, John, when he said that, wasn't it?
What does that mean?
Well, me and Dodsey were in another group, mate. And
that has been a bad loser.
There was a comment about, I wonder what he's going to do. And I'm thinking, I know what he's going to fucking do.
Yeah.
It's not been a good day, apparently, with
No.
Some of the things that have come out.
So,
but
you know, look, we love to moan, and when we win something, we go, oh, we don't know what to do. And that was my point. Look,
well,
a
we
lot
had three
of people
days
are,
of constant
you,
videos,
you're,
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's great. And
Sean, I disagree. We have absolutely milked this. And I'll tell you what, when that Spurs fan did the video, and I was like, oh, I get what he means. And then when everyone, I thought, no, fuck it. When we get under their skins, it's brilliant. And you're right, that's what it's about, isn't it? We've got under
well,
all
look,
the other teams.
The bit
skin.
You sent me, for all the people moaning, right? This is what Dodsey sent me, which he borrowed. There are 7,800 professional clubs in UEFA. There are more than 1,000 clubs in the European leagues, which represent 34 countries. Only three clubs can win a major European trophy each season. 5 days, West Ham was one of them. So when people say, oh, it's a Mickey Mouse Cup, it's a Dog and Duck Cup, you know, it's the third, you know, you've got to say only three people can win a European trophy, you know.
And, well, like and, I say, I don't think any of us can test that, do they?
Yeah, but
we
it's,
all
it's
know
always
what
the people,
trophy it was.
It's always
but in context.
Come out and try and put it in.
Oh, it's yeah, people like you Spurs. That focus on them, Sean. You just freaking yeah.
Content.
Bollocks content. It ain't anyway, content, Sean. It just fucking content. Ignore it.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, it's like put that trophy right. in context of our club and our season.
Look, it's amazing.
And our history. It's yeah. an amazing thing.
It's you know... as I put,
we've won more cups in Europe than we have on the Betway Cup, and there's only two teams.
Manchester United, 105 days since they won a trophy. Liverpool, 394. Chelsea, 443. Leicester City, 757.
Are you reading this from today?
Well, it's yesterday.
1,043. Right, so none of this is right then.
Well, add one. Newcastle United, 2,227. I just added one. Spurs, 5,587. Millwall,
what was the last trophy Newcastle won then?
Hold up.
Well, what was the last trophy Newcastle won?
I don't know. I got it from a feed that says it was a website.
Fairs
says
Cup.
Trophy.
Yeah,
1969.
70,
wasn't it? 1969, was it?
Oh, yeah, 69.
I didn't check everyone for accuracy. I just used a website for it.
Well, there's your problem, isn't it?
And anyway, don't worry about everyone else.
And Spurs fans, yeah. say, oh, we wouldn't want to ever qualify for that. Forget that last month, Harry Kane said he wanted to qualify for the Europa Conference League and win it because to end their drought of winning a trophy. So, yeah, who cares? We're champions of Europe. And I know there's been fights on. You're not the champions of Europe. You're just a champion of Europe. So what?
We're champions in Europe.
Champions in Europe. Well done, Dodsey.
Champions in Europe.
You'll never sing that. I do like that. What's the one? You know, where we go, oh, we're going to do it anyway. Who's the sing? Sean? From EastEnders.
EastEnders.
We're going to do it anyway. Barry. You can't sing Champs Europe. We're going to do it anyway. You know we are.
Not Labby Siffrey.
Labby Siffrey was.
Yeah.
Something inside
we
so strong.
We top seeded in Europa League. We won 30 million quid, including the guaranteed bonus for starting Europa League next season. We're back on Thursday nights. You know, what's not to be, I don't know, excited about next season and today's news, which well actually it was yesterday's news. I ran it in 6'2", but today the rest of the press caught up. David Moyes is staying. Yeah, I ain't leaving.
3 more years, David.
He had the meeting. David Sullivan said it wasn't a crunch talk. They talked through transfer strategy and there'll be a director of football. He wanted to stay. He's not interested in the Celtic gig, so, sees it as a step down, but doesn't want to say that publicly. And
I was clinging to that, to be fair.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, and, I just thought it'd be a good thing for him to go out, blaze of glory.
So here you are, you've been very, look, we've all said our piece about David Moyes. Let's not try and hide that. And even I said it was time for change, but he's won. This is the greatest thing of his career, right? It doesn't change who he is. How does it leave you, John, now? What do you feel about David Moyes and him being here at the start of next season?
Well, I think we all agreed over the course of this podcast, over this season, you know, how poor the league season had been. We all said that if he walks away with that this trophy, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
and
we did.
They couldn't turn around and sack him. And I think we all agreed on that.
Yeah, we did.
So it's not a surprise, but that's kind of that was my last glimmer of hope, was that he would take the Celtic job. Thank you very much. I'm going to go and do that.
I spoke to someone over the weekend who knows him quite well and said, he's got no interest. He wants to finish what he wants. But, you know, he feels he's got a bit of stock and he wanted to give David Sullivan a bit of a run for his money. And I'm told David Sullivan is like the cat that got the cream. You know, he's sort of going, I got proved right. I held my nerve. I didn't do what the fans said. I held out and didn't sack my manager. So I'm the one who won. Well, you know, that's the way.
That's what he done. He was nothing. He did nothing.
He is. Wild up. Yeah, but at the end of the day, look, if that happens, you got to go, well, actually, he was, you know, there's the thing that's been coming out saying 8 weeks ago, Arsenal were winning the title and West Ham were getting relegated.
But what was it? Was it
nothing to do with it? We all know what Sullivan said.
But it was about 2 weeks ago that Antonio come on that podcast and what he said about Scamacca.
Well,
and that tells you, I think, all
David
of it.
David Moyes doesn't think that he should have said that, but actually agrees that he can't play on his sides.
But again, we all kind of could see that, and I think we all agreed that the attempt to play a more progressive, better style of football, essentially, has failed, and he's reverted back to type.
Let me ask you another
and
question.
But they've
almost admitted that. And then the thing about Moyes ball is that it really only worked. Harry Redknapp could get away with defeats because of the way we played football. And there ain't been many managers, actually, that have done that. If we're Bilic, perhaps. Could get away with it. Bilic had this weird thing where, when he first joined the club, where we were beating Arsenal and Liverpool away from home, and we're being beaten by Bournemouth and Leicester at home. Yeah. So, you know, so he played us in both games. We won the second half under Bilic. So he was getting away with it, but not many other managers. So when it's losing football, it's going to be poor. Well, I don't know. Losing football under John Lyle, which at the start of his reign it was, weren't no fun. So, if Moyes had left, thank you very much. You are now in the top three. You're nailed on now as one of the top three managers in West Ham's history. I don't know if it could be a debate for another day about how you look at it, because if you look at Moyes in the league, the highest place he's finished with West Ham is six. Well, so did Ron Greenwood. That was his highest place, you know. And then I think he only managed that twice, Greenwood, sixth place. But Greenwood won an FA Cup and then a European Cup, Winners' Cup. But then, you know, what we've not said is, not only did we win it, and I get that the teams were easier than any other European competition that you're going to play in, but to win all but one and draw that other one, you know, that's a special achievement.
That's what left us with our coefficient second to Man City and above Real Madrid for this.
You know, 15 games and win 14 of them.
14 and draw one against Genk.
That's really good, but you compare it back to
without silly bollocks giving a stupid answer, without trying to have a row, how do you mark out a 10 the campaign, the
including the cup Conference now. League? Yeah,
no, the cup, not the season, the cup. We've done the season.
Oh, the cup.
Oh, the cup's 10 out of 10.
It's got to be 10, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
How can it not be 10?
Well, I suppose it could be 10 if you say, well, you should have won all 15 games, right? So it could be 9.5.
Well, we didn't lose any.
Yeah, I know, but you could, if you've got to have a differentiate of perfect would be 15 wins. 14
no,
wins
that's
in
not
a draw.
Perfect. No? Second, it's over two legs. It didn't matter.
All right.
Jesus.
It's a 10 out of 10.
That's funny because I was thinking 9.
There you go.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Why would you think 9?
I would think a 9 because I don't think we played that well in the final and we nicked it. And also, I think that's why I would have scored a 9.
According to Florentina, we affected their whole team by throwing cups at them and that's why they lost the game.
Don't take that notice of Florentina. But, you know, you look at that City final, that was their worst game in the season.
Oh, it was awful.
You know, so
I'm bored of that.
It's not unusual to be shit in a final.
No, a lot of it happens in against Blackpool. We were outplayed by Blackpool and we shit-housed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, 75 against Fulham. Fulham were the best team, or they definitely dominated a lot of the play. And both our goals came from goalkeeper mistakes. So you could say it was fortunate. Yeah. So, no, you're right in a final, but I just, you know, it's...
Can I pick... Yeah,
there were definitely certain games, Nigel, away from home that we didn't play well.
Yeah.
Definitely games in that European that we didn't play well.
No, but we still won, but as I say, to get a 10 out of 10...
What do you want him to do?
Win all 15 games convincingly.
That's almost as more as ridiculous
by a margin of two goals or more. Anyway,
well, I'm only
John
knocking him down a point, aren't I?
I want to ask John a question. Antonio, you mentioned, said, we changed our game. We went from plan
reverted back to type.
And obviously, our last eight results were a lot better than any of the results for the first 30 games.
Yeah.
If we can start the season like we finished the last eight, are you more comfortable with Moyes that we can get the results by playing the certain way
Moyes
plays to get results?
As already said, there was no way he's getting sacked after winning the trophy. I personally don't enjoy Moyes ball. I don't like being a low possession team that wins games on the counter attack. I don't enjoy that on long ball, essentially. I don't enjoy that to watch. But that's what we've got.
A long ball. You can't.
But you're coming back.
Ball. It's not long ball.
You're coming back to the stadium, though, John. Yeah.
I'm coming back. I'd already decided I was doing that last year.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was hoping he would take the Celtic route, go out. Thank you. I've achieved.
Well, do you know what?
It's
a little secret. It's not a secret at all. If he don't hit the ground running, he could be sacked by Christmas.
Which would be awful again, then, wouldn't it? See, that's the thing. It leaves
I think
open.
They will line
I don't think
up.
So, John. And I'll tell you why. Because even John Lowe got sacked. Yeah?
Yeah.
The only manager that really walked out with his head held high from start to finish was Ron Greenwood.
Yeah. I don't think...
No, he didn't walk out with his head held high.
With 6 months remaining...
He's still available as director of football for you,
John.
He's still available as director of football for you, Nigel.
Piss off.
I think, you know, he can't use a transition year, right, and injuries and all that lot. He's got to hit the ground running, start getting results. If by Christmas we look like relegation form, I think he'll be gone.
I don't know, Sean. I think he'll be gone by Christmas. Because it's so tight in the league, you say, what's relegation form? You know, if you look at it, Nottingham Forest on that thing, were dead and buried then by Christmas. You know? But
we had a spell of, what was it? He had like 2 wins in 16 or something like that.
Yeah,
I think if he hits that sort of spell again. Yeah,
and funny enough, and this is the thing, I said it before, our worst run of games was after we finished in Europe.
Yeah.
That's
between November... And between March, that was our worst run of forms.
Yeah.
But he's got such a sort of big job on his hands again, hasn't he?
He has,
we don't know. Declan Rice stays. But
we won't be.
Let's assume he's going, as we all expect him to. But you've got Scamacca's gone.
Does he?
Well, Lanzini. I've just written this. 6 players. Lanzini's going to go, apparently, and I think Dodgy will tell you, was saying goodbye and having his pictures taken at the end of the final game. He's now...
Yep.
Didn't they all have their picture taken?
Yeah, but he stayed out a little bit longer, apparently. Jamal Baptiste is going. He's not having his...
Who?
Jamal Baptiste.
Yeah, let's talk about...
Meepo.
First team squad.
Udabeko is also going. So those three are not being...
Sean.
You're straight in the barrel, Sean.
Declan Rice... If a bid of over 90 million comes in, he will go, right? The bid hasn't come in yet. It's not a foregone conclusion to Arsenal, but he will go. Forget all this, you know, good media training. What was he going to say when a kid asked him, what's your next club? Of course he's going to say West Ham. It was good media training. When he's asked and doorstopped by Sky after the final, of course he's going to say I'm contracted to West Ham. Means nothing. We know he's being touted out there. The only concern is, my senior source says, there's a bit of a concern how much money's around this summer. They won't sell on the cheap. So the only glimmer of hope of Declan Rice saying is, no one meets the asking price. So no one, and I think they will take as low as 90 million. But if no one gets to, you know, if it's 80, 70 million, they'll just say no. He stays a West Ham player and he'll have to wait for his time. Gianluca Scamacca, they will not let Scamacca go on loan. They say no way. News to them that these Italian clubs want him. They want their full money back or a small profit, and they need to find a replacement before he goes. But
how can they ask for a small
profit? Oh. They really say that, Sean?
Yeah.
A small
they're not going to make a loss.
Unbelievable.
They think that he's worth, with his age and his ability, whether he doesn't fit within this team or not, he's still got a lot of ability. He's very young. And the money, they can get the money back they paid for him or a small profit.
I'd like to ask a question.
Go on.
I'd like to ask a question. Why did they buy him?
Well,
because
he thought it was a David Moyes and a Rob Newman, and they thought it could make the difference. Obviously not. And the last one's Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson won't sign a new contract. He's on his last year of his option. His form hasn't been great, and we're going to try and flog him for what we can get him for. It might be another Harrison Ashby kind of situation. But, you know, on a good day, those three players will raise 150 million. And, you know, the people I've been told is we're looking at James Maddison, James Ward-Prowse, and Harvey Barnes. And guess what? They're also valued at 150 million because James Maddison is got a valuation of 60.
I'd be very surprised.
Barnes has got
Maddison.
A valuation of 40, and Ward-Prowse has got a valuation of 50 million. But who knows? You know, people have actually got to put bids in.
But you ain't going to sign them free for a start, Sean.
Well, I've been told that that's where the interest is.
What? So we're signing more midfielders? That's it.
We are
selling our striker. Antonio wants to go.
Antonio could want to go as well, you know.
We have got Ings. Can you imagine playing the season with Ings as our
striker? I hope Antonio decides to stay, but I know there's other factors there.
Which are?
We're not going to say publicly.
The CSA, John.
We don't reveal our sausages, mate.
I think he just did.
Sorry?
Sean, why do you hope that Antonio will stay?
I haven't heard he will stay. I'm saying
no,
I hope he does.
Why do you hope?
No, why do you hope?
But because I think on his day, and he's shown it in the last sort of eight games, like I've said before, I think he shows how useful we can be, you know. And let's not just think about the final and be in a goldfish mode. You know, he's done well. You know,
I think Mbamba's an absolute replacement for him.
Yeah, well, you might be right. Anyway, I know we're getting on, and we've still got to have another episode for question time. Is there any other news bits we want to cover, or anything else we want to cover for this episode?
I don't want to bring it down, but I've got news today that someone I knew from West Ham really closely died.
In
the last couple of days. So,
do we all know
Roy
him?
Roy Clark. Yeah, Roy Clark. He was Voice of Reason on West Ham Till I Die. Roy Boy on Twitter.
Oh, right, yeah.
You would have known Roy, Sean. He used to come to me golf days.
Yeah.
Everything I did, he supported. It was we were in the infirm City firm when we used to do away days. And he'll be greatly missed.
Yeah, that's a really, really sad.
So, yeah, I found that out today. So, he definitely saw us win because we were conversing on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, that's it, just the circle of life and all that.
Yeah, it is.
But and the thing about the win as well is, it did get me thinking about the people that I knew that are no longer with us.
David Gold, you know, Gold.
Definitely not. Fucking hell, Sean.
Well, come on, they did so much for their club. It's a bit of a shame they missed.
Go to fucking question time.
Anyway, look, we're going to go. I don't know who's staying for the next episode.
End of the season.
Are you staying for the next episode, John?
I will stay in for as long as I can.
You hero, John.
Oh, as long as I can keep my
and
eyes
then
open.
A hero
fuck
comes
you, don't
along.
Tell me about it.
Anyway, episode 60 is now I'm bringing to close. I've been Sean. Dodsey has been.
Dodsey the Scarecrow?
He said Dodsey the Scarecrow. Len has been.
Here.
And John has been.
Down there.
Yeah, don't forget the charity match July at Dorking Wanderers. See you there.
And
good luck with that, John.
Nigel's been.
Thank you very much.
Booty out.
Come on, you iron. Bobby
Moore. More than just a podcast. Since he didn't pick me.
Or me. Bobby Moore.
More than just a podcast. I'm just a puppet, mate. I'll get given the team. Yeah.
I'm coming
puppet.
Down with me kit. I'm coming down with my kit, I'm telling you.
All the greens. Goalkeeper yes. Gloves.
Come down, mate.
All right, my answer.
Bowen chests it down, and now he's appealing for handball against Biragi. Jared Bowen wants that check. He is absolutely adamant that ball, after he controlled it, the trophy for 58 years. Here's a chance to go in front. Ben Rama! West Ham goal. Ricardo Saponara came on for Christian Kouame, and he's stationed wide left. Ball drops inside the box. Bonaventura scores for Fiorentina. Out of nothing, the diagonal ball was nodded down. Fiorentina are level, and West Ham have got to do it all over again. 30 minutes of extra time possibly to come as well, and still some added time here at the end of this game for one of these teams to try and find a winner. Pacatar looking to release Bowen. Flag stays down. Bowen's through. One-on-one hits the shot.
To be honest with you, I didn't expect this many people tonight, but it is West Ham, so we're fucking massive, aren't we? Yes!
Okay, so once again, I do apologise for the language of Declan Rice.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.